This is Dwan Reese King, and today is June 27th, 1994, and I'm here interviewing Gene Alexander for the West Indian Carnival Documentation Project. And we're going to start off with just a few basic questions about your background. Where were you born?
St. Joseph, Trinidad.
And how long have you lived here in Brooklyn?
Altogether about 26 years.
When was the first time that you came to the States?
January 1963.
And how long did you stay?
1 year, and I came back again in 1968. Again, I spent another year, and I came back permanently January 1991.
So when you came the first couple of times and you stayed for a year, were you kind of testing the waters, or?
Yes, the first time I came, my husband was taking a course, and it was a one-year course, and he had never stayed away from Trinidad before. And he wanted me to be with him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he said he would have gone back.
Oh, okay.
And the second time, I came myself with him, and he went home and I stayed, because I really wanted to see what it was like living over here instead of just visiting,
right,
which is a far different thing. And we decided to come back in 1971 to live. We had gotten all over green cards and things by then. We came in with proper documentation, whole family.
Mm-hmm. What were your first impressions when you came here?
In 63, it was nice and clean. It was something far different from what it is now. And, you know, you hear all these stories when you don't live here, especially those days. About America, the land of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt, oh, you know, I would like to live here and have some of that opportunity, which didn't exist in Trinidad. And it was in the back of our minds in 68 when we came back again, maybe we should move over here because our family was just growing like crazy. I had 6 kids plus 4 stepchildren, and we weren't able to make it home. I never worked in Trinidad, so it was just one salary. And over here, I had much more opportunities to further your education, to get a job, and to live. Especially foodstuffs were much, much more inexpensive here than over there.
Okay.
And we thought it would be better to make a transition, and we did.
Have other family members moved up here since then?
My sister.
Your sister?
Yeah. I sponsored her when I became a citizen about 18 years ago. She's living here now with me. Not with me, but that's the only other relative, aside from my children and stepchildren. And now my grandchildren.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when you moved up here, did you go to Manhattan first, or did you come straight to Brooklyn?
Manhattan, yes. I lived on Broadway and 72nd for a couple of years. Then we moved to the Bronx, a larger apartment, and then we moved to Brooklyn.
And you've lived there for how long?
19 years.
Okay. Well, let me jump back a little bit. Your childhood and when you grew up, when did you first start getting involved in carnival?
My childhood, when I was very young, I remember my father had a huge truck. And every year, he was the eldest of 14 children. And he had lots of nieces and nephews and sisters and brothers. And because he had this big truck, he would put a cover on it. And at carnival time, Monday and Tuesday in Trinidad, he would load us all on the truck. Like hundreds of us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd pack together. And it had the shelves on the truck, and the big people would sit up under the shelves, and the little ones would sit underneath. And we would have food and go to the Savannah in Port of Spain, because he had a lot of friends who were playing mass themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play.
Okay.
They would play Jab Jab and Jambalasi, Midnight Robbers, Sailors, so they encouraged him to go and he would take us home. That's my first involvement in carnival. We didn't get to play mass.
Did you want to? Or?
Not at that early stage, no. You know, East Indian, and a lot of East Indians did not participate in carnival at that time.
Oh, okay.
Especially the Hindus. My father was Catholic, and we got involved, but at a distance. East Indian culture is that their most religious day of the year is around carnival.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that East Indians don't get involved in carnival because they're Indians, and it's most predominantly in Trinidad. In those days, it was mostly blacks. But that's not the reason. The Hindus, who are the majority of Indians in Trinidad, it's their most religious day. The Catholics and the Presbyterians got involved, but not as seeped in as the blacks then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say over the last 20 years, Indians, doesn't matter if they're Hindus, Catholic, or Presbyterians, or whatever, they get involved in carnival in just as anybody else.
Why do you think that change happened?
Because the religion has not been able to hold the younger generations together.
Uh-huh.
Like they did in the past.
Right.
And people grow up and, you know, life is much more free now. Parents can't control you as much.
So they do,
so they
what
do
interests
everybody
them or what
else
they want
is doing,
to do.
Yeah. And besides that, I don't know if you have any idea about carnival in the Caribbean, especially in Trinidad. The middle class families didn't get involved as much as the lower class, because remember, it was the slaves who
mm-hmm.
first got
mm-hmm.
on the streets
right.
and started, and the rich people were in shops. So when the middle class now, they saw carnival not as something that they would like to be involved in long ago. It was something to just watch,
right.
be spectators. When they started getting involved in carnival, they would get involved in the nicer, on a higher bracket. The balls, the costume parties, the private parties, and so on. And then recently, in the last 20, 25 years, the children of those people started actually playing mass and coming out on the streets like everybody else. I never got to play mass in Trinidad. As a matter of fact, this year, 1994, was the first time I ever played mass.
Really?
And I was forced to by some friends. I was staying with.
You still didn't want to?
In Trinidad, I didn't want to because it was like, you know, it was drummed into you, decent women don't show their bodies on the streets. And this is ironic because that's exactly what I did. Not that I wanted to, I was forced into it by some friends who I was staying with. They actually went to the mass camp, bought costumes for me, brought it home, and my friend told me, you have to take care of me today because, and he's married, his wife was right there. He said, I drink and get drunk and I do all kind of foolish things, so if you're there, you're going to take care of me, make sure I don't. So it was a line he just threw on me that I felt that, you know, okay, all right, I'll put it on, but I didn't want to.
So how was it?
It was good. It was tiring, but it was good.
Would you do it again?
Maybe.
Maybe. Ah, that's interesting. So
but I actually got involved in carnival when I was about 8 years old myself. I remember when I was little, where I live in St. Joseph, there's that red clay, the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And clay, you must know, it sticks together.
Right.
And we have something called Old Mass in Trinidad
mm-hmm.
on Monday morning. We would make faces with the dirt and put paper, newspaper or brown paper over it and make like a frame over the stick it together with flour and water.
Somewhat like paper mache?
That's right. And make that face into all different, you could represent a cow or goat, a human face, an African mask, all sorts of things. You could put horns on it. Make little round packs like horns,
mm-hmm.
take a paper and stick it on there, make a nose, ears, whatever. And when that is dry, take it off and paint it in whatever form, put teeth, and this is the mask. So I would make masks for my little friends who lived around. And then I got married when I was 15. And then I would make for my children and my stepchildren. My stepchildren were older. And I would fill them, put on my clothes on them, or their father's clothes,
mm-hmm.
and take the corn tassel,
right.
and make hair for them, or rope, the face, put on the big clothes and stuff them up like the girls.
So they had something.
Yeah, and put a pillow on their stomach and one in their butt, and give them a broom, or whatever, a box with a little, a shoe box with a doll or something. And we had bands of kids going out at 4:30 in the morning, going to the neighbors to sweep the yard and tell the neighbors when they come out. And a lot of dogs used to bark at them. Tell the neighbors, they would be finished sweeping the yard and the neighbors would come out and they would give them money, 5 cents or 10 cents, to see. We would maybe say it's Queen Elizabeth in the little cardboard box, or some nice, beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids got involved in that way, where I lived, from the time I was little to when I got married. Now, these would be the poorer kids,
okay.
mostly, okay? The richer kids, their family would have them be involved in the costume, the beautiful costumes that you would see, and the kiddies carnival. There were two different layers of the humanity. I didn't have the money to get them dressed in the pretty clothes, so I would make them.
Okay, that's interesting. I still, this is the first year you've played Mass. What kind of costume did you wear?
You don't want to see.
Oh.
It was a bikini.
Really? You must have wanted to try maybe a little bit to get talked into it.
I didn't realize it was a bikini until they brought it home.
Well, you were a good trooper. You should always try everything once, they always say.
Some of the members of the organization saw me too. It was like, what the hell are you doing? And you had to walk miles and miles of all the streets in Port of Spain and everybody would see you. So. But everybody else in the band looked the same way.
Okay, so you weren't alone?
No.
No. So it sounds like your children got involved fairly early.
Yeah,
too.
But since we moved over here, I have not been able to get them to be involved in carnival as much as I did home.
They're adults now?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're just not as interested?
No, they don't live with me really. Well, my son, and he's a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
He actually works the Labor Day carnival beat.
It doesn't?
No, the kids would come and be onlookers. But one of my daughters wanted to learn to play the steel pan, and we couldn't find a teacher for her during the daytime, or the early evening would be very, very late. I think she had gone once, and my husband was totally against her coming home so late. She would get home like 11:30 in the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's it. So she was very young then, so that was the end of that. That is one of the problems we had, at least when my kids were growing up. There weren't places readily available for children early hours to teach them things like the culture that I enjoyed. I was never allowed to learn to play steel band. I saw it all my life because right next to where I lived in St. Joseph had a steel band yard. As a matter of fact, Jit Samaru, the man who manages Jit Samaru's steel band, he's one of the few steel band tuners and arrangers in Trinidad. Is very well known. They're from right where I live,
mm-hmm.
those people. But we weren't allowed to get involved in the actual, maybe because I was a girl, maybe it had a lot to do with, the kind of people my parents were. I don't know the reason was. But after I got married at a young age, that was not a priority, learning
that way,
yeah. Then I had children, I had to take care of them, and make ends meet.
Yeah. So you got here in what year, refresh my memory, 19...
First time was 63.
Did you, so at that time, Carnival was still in Harlem.
But I didn't know
about
it.
But you didn't know about it.
No, I didn't know about
it. So when did you first know about the carnival?
I first found out about carnival just about 19 years ago.
Okay.
First year I moved to Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
I heard about it. And I came and I looked at it. And all I saw was people, and it seemed to me it was very chaotic. Being that I am from Trinidad, I would have thought Carnival would be like that, Trinidad Carnival.
Right.
A friend of mine who was at that time an editor with the Daily News, he introduced me to Carlos. His name is Bert Walker. He introduced me to Carlos right after the Carnival. I was already a member of the Trinidad and Tobago Alliance, director of public relations for them. And he told Carlos I could be able to help him because he knew I could write press releases and I was good with PR. He told Carlos I would be able to help him get the word out and help organize, which is really what I wanted to do. I got the word out. I did all the duties of a PR person. I got involved in the marketing, so many different things. But I wasn't able to help him organize the carnival. It wasn't only the carnival, it was the whole structure of the organization itself, mm-hmm. That I couldn't handle.
So were you originally a member of the West Indian American Day Carnival Association, or just kind of helping out?
No, the first year, 19 years ago, I helped out and I became a member. 18 years ago, a general member. And
okay.
A few years ago, I became a member of the board of directors.
Okay. So how did things slowly change over the years? You said the first time you saw it, a lot of people, it was chaotic.
Still a lot of people. Carlos have changed greatly. Because I was public relations, I was able to, and my involvement with other groups in New York, Trinidad and Tobago Alliance in particular, I found that some of the members in the Alliance did not approve of how Carlos ran the carnival. They saw carnival as an arm of Trinidad and Tobago. And what they saw here, this is what I heard from them. It did not project positive image like they wanted to see, and they didn't get involved at all. As a matter of fact, he would tell you he had a hard time from them, and I started trying to bridge that little gap between the two organizations as the PR person of both organizations. I had a strong influence in Carlos, and Carlos, when I say Carlos, I mean West Indian Carnival and the Trinidad and Tobago Alliance coming together at one point. The West Indian Carnival was one of the Trinidad and Tobago Alliance organization members. They have 18 organizations, mm-hmm. and the West Indian Carnival was one. Carlos, now he's no longer a member of the Alliance. They had a couple of difficulties that he pulled back, but I tried to get them together to bring a little bit more cohesion between the main Trinidad and Tobago groups and West Indian Carnival, because I saw they stayed away from each other, in not only in terms of organization and involvement, but the people themselves, they shunned him in the beginning. Now they don't do that anymore. They shunned him only because they probably wanted to see him do things more like it was done in Trinidad, and he didn't do it that way at that time. But now he has done a lot of the things that those people wanted to see. Not all, but a lot. He goes to their events and they come to his. A lot of them, look at Hawks, for instance, Hawks International.
Mm-hmm.
That one of Carlos, the man who used, he had a lot of things, negative things to say about Carlos and West Indian Carnival, Desmond Chase, years ago. Now he is president of Hawks International, which is one of the biggest bands in Brooklyn that takes part in the carnival, and very supportive too.
That's interesting. Well, you say that I think initially that certain organizations weren't happy that carnival was not necessarily like it was in Trinidad. How has the carnival itself changed over the years? Is it more like the carnival in Trinidad? Is it distinctive
really,
here in Brooklyn?
It is distinctive, but initially when the carnival began, it is patterned after Trinidad and Tobago's carnival.
Right.
The nights of the shows behind Brooklyn Museum, it's just like the pre-carnival activities in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the march on the streets. It's not really a march, it's a dance, really. That is Trinidad and Tobago's input in Carnival. Plus all the artists who performed, most of them are from Trinidad and Tobago. The best
right.
artists, because we, the community, mainly Trinidad and Tobago members, would go down to Trinidad and Tobago every year for Carnival, then we would come back here. We, the organization members, see who's performing there, and we sign them up to come here and perform for Labor Day. Some other island kings and queens get to perform too, but not as much as Trinidad and Tobago artists. A little bit more of that should be done.
How has that changed a little bit? Because I know there's certain nights, like there's a reggae night now, and there have been events for Haitians and involving people from other islands.
Yes, we tried with the Haitian night. It didn't work like we would have liked.
How did that not work?
We didn't get the support of the Haitian community.
Really?
Yeah. The Haitian community is quite large. We actually reached out to them, but maybe we didn't do it the right way. The Haitian people are kind of, they're close-knit, but they don't speak English, and we can't communicate with them as much. Maybe that's the communication between the two groups of people has a lot to do. Not only Haitians, you would know, but anybody who speaks different languages, it's the communication of how you put over whatever it is you want to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end result. It's very difficult. I can't speak Creole, neither can anybody in the organization. So we would have had to have somebody who can speak Creole. We would have had to get their media involved. They have their own newspapers and radio stations and all that. Their community network is a lot different from ours. When I say ours, the English-speaking Caribbean. And we weren't able to get to them to make them understand what we're having and how it would be put over to them to make them feel involved enough to come and participate. I think that had a lot to do with the failure of that part of it.
Mm.
Besides that, Carlos, I know he had lots over the years, lots of different communities have been involved. When I say communities, we had the Brazilian aspect of it. We have the Spanish aspect of it. Not enough, but still he tried. And when it's not successful, he would just not do it the next couple of years.
Hmm.
But mostly Trinidad and Tobago has carried a carnival.
Okay. Do you
in
see
terms of the in terms of the people who work in the organization, in terms of the people who attend the shows, in terms of the artists, this shouldn't be so. This should be a little bit more spread out over the Caribbean, and I think maybe very soon that would happen. It is there, but it's not as much.
Not as much as you think
no.
it should be or could be. So you think most of the people who do attend Carnival are from Trinidad? I mean, it's a large number.
Not on the streets I'm
not
talking
on the
about.
Streets.
I'm not talking about
but you,
on the
streets. But playing mass
the back
and
the
band
museum.
Leaders in the back of the museum. What about on the streets? What's your sense? Do you have an idea
on the streets, I would say the majority of the people who actually are in costumes and the band leaders are from Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Okay? Now, the spectators, they are a mixture of everybody you could find from wherever.
Do they come throughout? And I know people come just to Grover themselves
come from
outside
all
the
over
country.
The world. They come from all over the world. And this is no lie.
Do you think you get a large number of people from New York itself?
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. You have a large number of people who come from New York. Black Americans, white Americans, other Caribbean people who come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a public relations person, you get to hear a lot of the complaints as well as the praises.
Right.
Some of the complaints I have gotten all over the years, up to very, very recently, is that the crowds. The place is so crowded. Imagine having 3 million, 2.5 million, 2 million people on a, what is it, about 30, 35 blocks. That's a lot of people, and a lot of people just can't stand the crowds. They would like to see it a little bit more spaced out. But we have not gotten to that stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
They would say to me, how come you have mostly artists from Trinidad and Tobago? Why don't you have other islands? I would like to see that. And I think that would come somehow or the other. We have to get that in there. One of the aspects of that is the reggae night that
right.
we had. Right. Bob Marley, the last place Bob Marley performed publicly, was there at the museum. He was a guest artist.
I didn't realize that.
That's right. I was there. I saw this long stretch limousine come in. Bob Marley came out. He was a guest artist.
Ah. So reggae night has a following.
We recognize reggae night had a following very early in the game. This was one way we brought in the Jamaican community. Now, Jamaica didn't have carnival like Trinidad mm-hmm. and Tobago all their lives. They had, I'm not sure what they called their celebration, but reggae is Jamaica. Everybody knows
mm-hmm.
that. And to get the Jamaican community involved in the carnival, we brought the reggae aspect of it in on the Friday night. This has been probably, but I'm not sure if it's 10 years. I didn't check the records, but it has been quite a number of years. Almost all the artists that have been performing in New York for the last 10 years or so, reggae, good reggae artists, have performed at the back of the museum for us. And now Jamaica itself has carnival. And it is Trinidad and Tobago who were asked to come into Jamaica and make the costumes and help them sponsor the carnival in lots of different ways. It's not something that Jamaica naturally
right.
did. Trinidad and Tobago themselves, who were the ones who went there? They were asked by Byron Lee and they to come and put on the carnival for them. Now the Jamaican people is beginning to be much more involved in understanding about carnival.
Okay. One of the interesting things I think, and I think a lot of people recognize this, is that the carnival here in Brooklyn has the opportunity to bring so many people from so many different islands together, which I think is symbolic of what a lot of people are expressing to you, like, why don't you have this for us, or this that represents this community.
So we would feel part of it too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because it's the one, you know, if you just go in the Caribbean, you know, this island here, and everyone's following their own cultural traditions, but here in Brooklyn, you have such a wide diversity of groups here.
They come. Most of them come as spectators.
As spectators.
Yes. So we would like to see them get, and it's not that they're not getting involved. Now I'm sure Joyce probably mentioned this to you. If she hasn't, I think she definitely knows, and Carlos knows too. We have lots more non-Trinidad and Tobago people playing mass now than we ever did.
Really?
Yeah. We have lots of people with kids from Barbados and Grenada, Jamaica, I'm sure other islands, and not Native Americans, but Black Americans, and some white Americans too. But that was not the case many years ago.
When it just started out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe people are becoming more familiar with the
people
traditions and learning how to play.
It's something enjoyable. Anything that is enjoyable would catch on. Anything at all. Music, food, dance, whatever it is. If you go to a dance and you look at people dancing, you would get up and want to dance too. But if you see everybody being glum and sullen, what's there, right?
Right. Let me ask you this question. What does, and it's interesting in your background, seeing that you didn't play mass when you were growing up and you got your children involved, but what does carnival mean to you? Because you're very involved in it here.
Carnival is an expression of my cultural heritage. And because I am not in Trinidad every day, wherever I go, I want to have that feeling. You have no idea of the joy and the satisfaction that we who are involved in carnival get from it. I have been involved in lots of different kinds of culture. But carnival itself, Caribbean culture, to me, is the most vibrant. It's the most invigorating feeling that you can have. I worked on Broadway for about 12 years with Charge It Bear. I was able to see cultural shows from all over the world when it came to New York. Mm-hmm. I've seen every single play in New York. I've seen almost everything that came to the Garden, at Town Hall, at Radio City. But I got the most satisfaction from seeing Carnival, whether it was Carnival in New York, Carnival in Trinidad, in Miami, in Montreal, in Toronto. I've never gone to London. It's a bad time.
The timing's always off.
But that feeling I never got from anything else. I've seen all the Indian shows that come out of India and Pakistan that come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I get to see them. So I have the involvement in culture from lots of different areas, not only American culture and Indian culture, but Caribbean culture. And I can tell the difference in the way I feel when I attend them. I can see the areas that we, the Caribbean community, is lacking in the way we portray our culture. But I can also see the good side of it. I would like to see the level of performance and artistry and professionalism come up to the other people who come here, because I have seen how they portray their act at whether it's the Garden or Carnegie Hall or Radio City. And I would like to see ours get to that level too.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea how long it's going to take. I hope it comes about.
What do you think about, because I noticed in meeting with various members of WIADCA that there's this interest in passing on a legacy and making sure the tradition continues. A couple weeks ago I met someone who was from Trinidad, and she made a comment to me. She says she doesn't bother to go to carnival here because it's just not the same as it is home, so why bother? I mean, it just can't compare.
No.
So, and you know, this is someone who's a younger person. And
I wouldn't say it can't compare. I would say to her, you know, if she feels that it's not up the level that she would like, she should join here and try to make it come up to that. That's the reason I joined.
Mm-hmm.
And the legacy, the opportunity to pass on the cultural heritage, this is what the whole world is made of. I mean, if the, whether it was the people from, it's what, Carnival started, not the same as what we know now, but centuries before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, it was taken out of Egypt and taken to Rome, and then from Rome to Europe, and then from Europe it was brought to the Caribbean by the French. If these people didn't hold on to what they knew, how would we have what we have now? And if we don't hold on to what we have now and teach the younger generations, how would they ever know what carnival is or what their cultural heritage is? It's extremely important. And if she would have, if she would think, really, even if the carnival is not like what she knew in Trinidad, she should help make it be a little bit better and come along to what she would want.
Are younger people getting involved?
Yes, yes. Now that we have Kitty's Carnival on the streets, hundreds of thousands of people, if they're not actually getting involved in terms of being part of the masqueraders, the young masqueraders, they look on and they see, and the next year they want to play.
And what about on the business end of it? You're trying to keep that going.
The business end of it, I think a lot of big corporations, and this has many aspects to this, the reason this is so. Many of the big corporations whose products we use, like the liquor, the services, the stores, everything that we would need, the food, all these different areas of carnival, the costumes, the fabrics and all that, the people who own the mills, the fabric mills, the people who own the big corporations, don't come to carnival. It is summertime, it's the last part of summer. They actually, most of them are away out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The big media people, they're not looking to see what's going on in Brooklyn on that day. They are away maybe playing golf or vacationing or something. These people are the ones who should know what carnival, what is going on in Brooklyn. They don't know. The underlings, maybe they were top executives, they also are not in New York. They don't see it. This carnival is not on the media and all the television stations. They don't get the opportunity to see what carnival is. It's the people who live here and who visit from outside of the outside of New York City and other states who see what carnival is. You know, we have to get those top people up there, the owners of all these big corporations, to recognize what carnival is, really, to see that their products are being utilized by us. When we get that to happen, then carnival would go somewhere. It has begun to get a little bit more attention than it did 20 years ago. I remember when I first got involved as Director of Public Relations, I asked a lot of the top media people why they didn't have carnival on television. It was, I got all stupid kind of excuses, you know, that's Brooklyn and it's holiday time and people not watching TV and people out of the country, all sorts of excuses. But I think really deep inside of somebody's mind, it was that it's a black event. And they didn't care. It's not only a black event, it's an event that utilizes millions of dollars of products that these people make, and they make money from us. And once they get to recognize that, then we'd be able to do something much, much better than we do now.
So it always strikes me as strange that the number of people who come to attend Carnival and the amount of coverage that you see locally, you wouldn't know it. I mean, if you're outside, you wouldn't know that
it's
there.
I know.
And, you know, there are all kinds of other events that get news coverage. And it seems like such the topic to be interested in for a lot of organizations and newspapers. And while it's still not recognized or acknowledged to its full extent, I don't know what the answer is, but it does strike me as slightly curious.
I realized in Canada, we go to the Toronto Carnival every year. Toronto Carnival is the same age as New York's, by the way. We go there and the government have a station on television that actually they position themselves for a number of hours at a certain point where I think they judge the costumes. And that is beamed directly to all the homes, whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours. Now this particular station is partly funded by the government. So they are allowed to do that. I brought this up with Bill Fife from ABC a number of years ago. And we met with them, you know, I told them about what was going on in Canada, and he told me, well, you know, let's talk. We had a number of meetings that came out of that talk. They actually hosted a reception for us at the Lighthouse Restaurant. And I put over my proposal to them. What came out of it? He said that day there were a number of different shows that's nationwide on ABC, and they couldn't cut those shows. They couldn't, if they found sponsors, you know, well, you know what kind of sponsors, talking about millions and millions of dollars a couple of minutes that would cost. Now, this would be a couple of minutes only. But out of that did come a segment that ABC did a few years ago on the Parkway, early in the morning, and then they followed up with New York News on Saturday night, you know, about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
A few years ago, they did a documentary that came out directly from that meeting that I had with Bill Fife.
Oh, and when was this? Couple years ago?
Probably 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah, I'm sure Carlos has a copy of that tape. But they actually went around to the neighborhood before Labor Day and got a whole bit of the background of the building and the costumes and interviewed the store owners and all that. And then they finished it with the back of the museum, the 4 nights. And it was condensed nicely into a half-hour segment.
Hmm.
But that grew out of that initial talk I had with Bill Fife on why couldn't ABC do something like this, but Canada had.
Well, things are always much harder to do in the United States, I must say that. there's so much bureaucracy and money and politics.
Money and politics, but as I said, if these people finally were able to know what was happening behind the scenes in Brooklyn on Labor Day and prior to Labor Day, recognize the kind of money that is being spent by Caribbean people. You know, we have weeks and weeks of pre-Labor Day shows in Brooklyn that utilizes so much the soft drinks, the beer, the alcohol, the cigarettes, the food.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, if somebody's consuming it, some millions of people over the few weeks.
Yeah.
If it didn't have Labor Day in Brooklyn, there wouldn't be all the pre-Labor Day fests and the after Labor Day fests that utilizes all these products and services. These people wouldn't make that amount of money.
We talk about media support and recognition and acknowledgement. What about political support and involvement?
Political involvement have been there always. You would see all the politicians. From the time I knew myself getting involved in Labor Day, I've seen all the politicians who are in New York. They come. You don't even invite them. They come.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have reached a little higher plane. I don't think Governor Kerry ever came to Labor Day, but Governor Cuomo has been coming for a few years now. The mayors always come. But it was Dinkins. The people love Dinkins like crazy.
Is this mayor going to come?
Sure, he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a definite. I think he recognizes now, not only him, but I think all the politicians, and that is one of the advancements of Liberty Council. Politicians have recognized the worth of these millions of people. I'm sure they all look at it and say, boy, if these people can vote, we would be in heaven. I mean, a lot of them could vote. A lot of them have become citizens like myself. A lot of them are not yet citizens. A lot of them, we're trying to get them to understand the use of becoming a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that you could vote, but you could participate in so many other different aspects of the policy making of the government.
Let me ask you this, because a question just popped into my mind. Is the carnival here in Brooklyn different than the one in Trinidad? And this is the sense I'm getting, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's something, the politics at stake, there's empowerment, there's, you know, recognition of the economic power of this community. I think when I went to the Dimash Gras show last year, you know, there were people giving out leaflets about voting, things like that. It's also, it looks like an opportunity to establish the Caribbean presence in New York City.
It is.
And that it's a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Trinidad, is it more just the cultural statement, or do you see those same activities?
It's more of a cultural statement. In Trinidad and Tobago, we've had it for almost 200 years now.
Mm-hmm.
No, all the politicians play mass.
Okay.
The whole
okay.
country plays mass,
right.
So nobody, I mean,
it's part of the culture.
It's beer. It's just as common as Christmas. I mean, nobody needs to take the opportunity to make a political statement because it's the whole country's involvement. Here, we don't feel as much as part of the whole country's involvement. We are here as a separate group. And just by coming together, these millions of people, we don't take it as a political statement, but the politicians take it as a political opportunity. When Carnival, and I think this is one of the reasons Carnival has not developed and have become organized as it should. It's because the people who were involved in Carnival came from Trinidad or wherever they came from, some of the other islands. It was a cultural statement. They didn't do it because they wanted to make an impression on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they want to do, just an extension of their culture. So that is a drawback in a sense, because if you don't do something with a direct positive focus, other than just enjoying yourself, like you go to a party to enjoy yourself, you don't always go to parties. Some people do. You don't always go to parties to meet a politician or prospective mate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to enjoy yourself.
Right.
So you know, it's almost the same thing transferred.
Hmm.
So I would think in that sense that would make...
Over here, we have that political impact.
Because it's...
Of the potential for great political impact. And we don't have that in the Caribbean, especially in Trinidad and Tobago, where I know what the whole structure of carnival is.
Because in a sense, that could pretty much dictate how this Brooklyn's carnival develops. I mean, it's much
that,
like...
And that shouldn't be, you know. It is good that politics don't get a rooted foothold in carnival, because then every 4 years or whatever it is, the politicians change. City Hall might be a new mayor every 4 years. So if you made it a political connection there, the strings that... Could you imagine a chaos?
Yeah. I guess I'm also using the term political very loosely, in that it's also empowerment.
It's an opportunity that a lot of the politicians get to meet and see people, to greet them, get the people to see who their political representatives are. That being so, the community should gain from it. Not only that we will see these politicians once a year, because that's exactly what is happening. This is the first year. Things are going to be a little bit different because the governor, out of the Crown Heights situation, saw the multitude of Caribbean people plus some of the problems that we face, and there is now something, a temporary office for the Caribbean Comprehensive Center, which is a direct input of the governor and his office. But this is not, this has not been going on a long time, this is just recently. But that's not enough. It's like putting a band-aid on a huge, deep cut.
Right. Yeah. It's just temporary measure. It's not really going to solve it.
Not at all.
What kind of things do you see that Carnival could do to serve the Caribbean community in the future? Or what changes do you see happening?
Changes for the Caribbean community?
Or for Carnival itself, based, you know, rooted in the Caribbean community that's here.
I see Carnival getting more and more involved with the people from different countries, including Americans, black and white, yellow, whatever color they come in. Because we have been getting involved with people calling us from Germany, from Japan, from all over the world, and if these people's and their own ethnic groups are here and they know that their media people or their government is being involved in some way, whether just visiting, they would come out and be spectators, maybe a few years being spectators. Being a force to bring the Caribbean communities together. It's a time when people look forward to see their friends, their relatives. I'm sure the relatives who visit from out of the country, relatives who live within the different US states. It's also a political opportunity, as well as economic opportunity.
Right.
There are lots of different things that can happen. Carnival could become more streamlined. Maybe we need many more blocks, I don't know, to ease that congestion on the parkway. I see Carnival getting much more support from the government, because once we can document to the government how much money, how much taxes. Do you think the government, New York City government, pays $1 million in police salaries for Labor Day for nothing? I am sure they know that they make many more times that. But if we can find a way to document exactly how much money, and we can tell them, well, you make $20 million for the carnival and all the activities for 1 week or a week and a half, then we would be able to bargain for much more, and then they would feel that they have, it's a duty, part of what we are doing is part of helping the city. Carnival could also be a year-round business, teaching people how to make the steel bands and costumes.
Now that happens separately, right?
That, and yeah, that's, okay. That's where the economic involvement could become much more, a larger area of the Caribbean community can be actually involved in this costume making activity. Not only the costume making, but the dances, all different aspects that would flow out into Labor Day Carnival. And these could be little cottage industry during the year, providing jobs, providing training. The government would actually get to see how this is benefiting the community and keep them together, get them involved instead of being hanging out, being there on the streets hanging out or doing bad things, whether it's selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
If the people have things to do, they won't be able to be out there selling drugs.
Let me ask you another question. And you talked a little bit about Toronto, but how does Toronto's carnival and Brooklyn's carnival differ? And what things are similar? Because you attend Toronto regularly?
Toronto, yeah.
Regularly.
As a matter of fact, I was in Toronto in 1968 when the carnival started.
So they started the same year. This Brooklyn started
Brooklyn
when it made
started,
the switch to Harlem.
The few, I'm not sure which, wait a minute, Brooklyn Carnival is September, theirs is the end of July. The same year, but their carnival have government support.
Not from day one. Okay.
But the government finally recognized that. Now, most of the people who go to carnival in Toronto, they stay at hotels. They don't have, all Trinidadians in New York don't have relatives in Canada. So therefore, we would stay at hotels. I have stayed at hotels lots of times. I have relatives too. But if I carry friends from here, I would stay at a hotel. So the hotels began to see that they are filled around late with the carnival period. And they started coming together. Now the hotels have their own little industry over there. All the guest houses are filled, not only with Trinidadians, but New Yorkers coming over there and other states. If you drive up to Toronto Carnival, you would see at the different toll booths, you would see New York, not only New York, but U.S. state license plates from all over the United States going over there for the carnival. And not only that, they have a very easy way of measuring all the U.S. money that the banks change. We have to change our currency when we go there. So this is a way that they keep track of how much money comes into their city. The restaurants, the rails, the car companies, the bus companies, not to mention the actual costume, the fabric stores that sells all these costumes, the wine, the beer, the liquor, all these. These are big companies that make money, so they have an easier way of tracking how much comes into their country than we have of tracking ours. We use the same currency here. I mean, the whole United States use the same green bill. There's no way, except if you were to ask each person, did you come here for carnival? Or have a coupon system or something, but there's no 100% foolproof way of finding out how much money is spent here because of Labor Day Carnival. You can track it through the airlines or the rental cars or the bus companies or some of the visitors who would tell you if you conducted a survey. But the majority, you won't be able to get it.
Let me ask you, this was a question I wanted to ask a couple of weeks ago and you alluded to it. Where do people actually stay when they come for Brooklyn's Carnival?
Most people stay with relatives. Most people. Remember, we had the Caribbean
community.
So
we're talking about a large group of people. I mean, this is the largest group of people outside the Caribbean here in New York. Mm-hmm. So,
and a lot of them have families that have homes or apartments and they stay, but some people stay in hotels. Now, they stay in hotels. I don't know how many stay in hotels in Manhattan. We don't have that many hotels in Brooklyn.
Right.
So there's not that overflow for the hotel industry to get involved. If we were to make carnival on a different level that we can market it as a part of tourism, but that's
Would you really want to
light
do that?
Light years away.
I mean, would it change the essence of carnival?
Yes. It is surely going to have to change if it were to become a tourism product. And I don't think that's the best thing for it.
I mean, so many times things like this, you start to juggle between the integrity of the original event or, you know, performance, what have you. This goes across the board versus supporting it and making sure you have the income to keep it going and readjusting, constantly readjusting. And I mean, is it safe to say that Carnival's doing well right now?
I guess you could say it's doing well. It could be a little better.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to go to Manhattan, or we don't have to have the support of the hotel industry in Manhattan. Maybe we can have some more hotels in Brooklyn, but what would you do with hotels other than Labor Day? I mean, you have to look at it in the
Well, we don't have a lot of hotels in Brooklyn, period. It's
yeah.
just...
And it's no sense just building hotels just to accommodate tourists or visitors or relatives for carnival time. So.
But do you also think, you know, the consequences, if you bring in more people, then that complaint that people have that it's too crowded, you've got to find more space and negotiate mm-hmm. space or who is where, and it's very, there's kind of a domino effect.
A lot of people who, like the hotel industry and others in the tourism business, have suggested that Carnival be moved to Manhattan because there it would be easy for the tourists who come in, who stay in Manhattan, to see the Carnival and be part of it. I think that would be a disaster.
Why?
It's no longer going to be a carnival. It is going to end up being a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And Carnival could never be a parade. This could never be the Irish Day Parade or whatever kind of parade. There's no marching in Carnival. There's dancing. There's, you know, people like to stop and display their costumes for the friends and relatives and for the judges to see. How could you do that in a march?
How would you explain, if I were just someone, you know, coming off the street or out, you know, from another state, how would you explain to me the difference between Carnival and a parade?
I would tell you first to begin with, now the word Carnival, a lot of people have this image in their head that Carnival is clowns and rides and all that. This is not it. This is Mardi Gras, really. It is something that you would find, it resembles New Orleans Mardi Gras. It resembles Rio's Mardi Gras. But we in Trinidad call it Carnival. It's a time of dancing on the streets to nice, scintillating music. That music, if you just stand there, it would seep into your body and make you dance. It would make you move. I don't think I have seen anybody who actually was standing close to nice calypso music and who didn't move. Even recently, Commissioner Kelly.
Okay.
I was standing near to Kelly, and when the music passed him, I saw him moving. He didn't move as much as he could have because he was the commissioner of police.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one example. Nobody at all could really be close to Carnival and not move and dance. And if you have on a costume, you want to show what you can do in this costume. There's something called dance to costume. How could you march? It's different. It's not a parade. It's a parade in the sense that you parade in your costumes if you're a masquerader, but it's not a parade in the sense that you would be marching to any kind of formation.
Right. Is there anything to it as part of Carnival being part of Brooklyn's identity and vice versa?
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
if you transplanted
definitely.
It in Manhattan.
No, it's not going to be the same.
Why?
It is part of Brooklyn. I mean, Carnival on the Parkway, it overflows into the people's yards. It overflows onto all those streets, the service road into the people's yards. A lot of the people who live on Eastern Parkway are Caribbean people, who live off the Parkway are Caribbean people, who are actually having a nice fete, quote unquote, with music and food and friends, having a nice a party in the backyard, and then they would walk over to the parkway to see the costumes mm-hmm. and the masqueraders and the relatives and friends. You won't be able to do that if you moved it to Manhattan or any place else.
So, because the heart of the community
are
is
involved
here,
in it, yes.
And they're involved in it.
Yes.
To transplant it,
it
even just to
be,
another borough.
No way. The other boroughs may want to have their own, but not the kind of moving out of Brooklyn to another borough.
Has there been thoughts along those lines about other boroughs? Like, I know there's something that goes on in Manhattan.
It's the Caribbean cultural,
right.
Right. But that's not on the streets. That is in the park and Lincoln Center, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Somewhere in mid
exactly.
Manhattan.
I know.
It's
yeah.
Martha Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I've asked a lot of questions, and you've been telling me quite a bit. Do you have anything else that you want to say or express?
Other than somehow or the other, we, the organization, West Indian American Lay Carnival Organization members, I hope there's some way that the membership can be trained in terms of understanding the worth of having a professionally run entity who sponsors the carnival. That it is going to be a year-round business of organizing the carnival, of all pieces in place, just like an ordinary business, whether that business is Merrill Lynch or whoever it might be. Have it organized in a business fashion. You know, the first day in January, you are going to be doing so and so. You know that the day after Labor Day Carnival, or for a few weeks, you will be involved in collection of funds that was not collected. Have a staff who will be doing certain things, have different departments. That is something I would love to see happen one day.
Well, hopefully it will.
I hope out of this might be the beginning.
Well, it's a start. I mean, you know, documenting everything. It's always the first step. Do you do any more mask making with your grandchildren or anything like that, what you did as a child?
No, I don't have the time.
Oh.
Because being involved in Labor Day, my own children grew up, actually I think they resented me being involved with Labor Day.
Oh.
They told me that when
really?
They grew up, yes. Because I was always away at meetings late into the night. I was never there to help them do their homework, because I would be, after work, I would be going to Mr. Lazama's house or to the meeting areas, whether it's Trinidad, Tobago, All Lions, or Labor Day Carnival, and I was never home in the evenings. And they resented me not being home because my cultural involvement took me away from home.
Does that have anything to do with maybe they're not wanting to participate in carnival as much, or
probably.
Is it more so maybe because their formative years, for the most part, were here?
Yeah,
were here.
Yeah.
So it's probably different values.
I didn't bring them with me because it's hard to be carrying kids along with you when you go to all these meetings and be involved
right.
in things.
Right.
And a lot of people I know recently, few of the members of Labor Day Carnival, particularly Dr. Stanislaus, who have known me long before I even got involved in carnival, told me he didn't even know I had children.
Wow. And you had six of them and four stepchildren.
Yeah. They saw my son now when he was grown up, and they were quite shocked.
Wow. Hmm. Do your kids go back to Trinidad at all? Or?
Yeah.
Would you like to see them more involved? I mean, as far as like the cultural heritage, you say?
Sure, I would like to see them much more involved than they are, but they all have their own families. They don't live in New York City, some of them. One live in Florida, one live in Cherry Hill, another one live in Teaneck. It's hard for them to become involved in what's going on in Brooklyn.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, well they're not necessarily here. It also seems to me people who are involved, you really have a strong commitment to it because, you know, you're working regular jobs. And then, you know, if you're part of West Indian American Day Carnival Association, you're doing that. Or if you're a band leader, you're trying to do so many other things because this is so important to you. Or if you're making costumes or...
And nobody's paying you to do these
exactly.
things.
It's because it's a labor of love. It's part of who you are. So it's something that's important for you to do.
I have gotten much of the satisfaction that I've had over the years out of being involved in cultural activities. Whether it was with Labor Day Carnival or the Caribbean American Center. The Caribbean American Center and me didn't just start 6 years ago, that started 20 years ago. We would meet in different people's homes. A woman by the name of Leona Barzi, who lived in Fred Samuel's home. Fred Samuel died now, he was one of the politicians in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
I got involved with this woman going out for Charlie Rangel, trying to get people to vote for him and knocking on doors. And the Charlie Rangel, the Basil Patterson, the Percy Sutton, all those people I've known over 20 years. Me being involved in, I used to be much more involved in politics. But then I got involved in culture and community, and my political involvement kind of waned. When Jimmy Carter ran, I was on the hospitality committee, meeting people at the airport, the delegates, and all that. That's why my kids resent me not being home. If I wasn't involved in West Indian Carnival,
whether
Trinidad and Tobago Alliance or some political party, or having to go do fundraising or give out flyers. But those other things gave me more enjoyment than the jobs that I got paid for. And that's why I did it, and I left my job at the Daily News to come and work at the Caribbean Center. Because it gave me a little bit more freedom to do for Mr. Lazama and West Indian Carnival what I couldn't do while I was on the job. When I started putting that project together with Bill Fife and ABC, I was working with the Daily News, and my boss would call me because the phone would ring. The phone number that I gave as contact was his line. I didn't have my own phone.
Oh.
And one day he told me, he said, you know something, maybe you should sit in this office. And I, you know, he was laughing, but I knew he didn't, you know, it wasn't a joke. So I recognized a long time that I would have to have a little bit more freedom to deal with what I liked doing.
Can you tell me just briefly a little bit about what you do at the Caribbean American Center?
The Caribbean American Center is a nonprofit community organization. We serve the 5 boroughs of New York and the outer areas with free services in job training, employment, educational opportunities, whether it's people trying to get a GED or college education. I help people fill out forms for food stamps, college applications, housing applications. I'm a paralegal. I do free immigration counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm almost at the end of the visa lottery.
Right.
And people ask me for every kind of information you could think of, government agencies, the consulates, the tourist boards, the ambassador's offices, people who need a hall to have an event, they would call us and ask us. Whether they need a steel band or something, we would direct them. If they need costumes to put at an event, they would call us. You name it, people ask. Sometimes I think I'm an encyclopedia.
It sounds like you're a great resource person for that, too. So you're working primarily with a lot of newer immigrants as well?
Yes.
You're seeing people coming into the community?
A lot of people who've been here and they're not aware of the services that are there. A lot of people just don't know how to go about looking for a job, what they need to have in hand before they look for a job. They don't know how to prepare resumes. You know, some people in the Caribbean, you don't have as many different aspects of social life here as you have over there, whether it's Jamaica or Trinidad, Barbados, wherever. They people call the Caribbean Center. One woman called me a few days ago. She said she called one of the radio stations, I think it was KISS for something, and they directed her to the Caribbean mm-hmm. Center. So it's not only predominantly Caribbean radio stations and the media who know about us, other people, other mainstream people.
Well, if they don't know the answer where to go, maybe you will, that kind of thing. Hopefully you will.
And when I don't know, I direct them to other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this can also be a resource for people, like, you know, if they're, you know, they're newly arrived and they don't feel very comfortable, what resources, what cultural resources, what communities should they live in mm-hmm. to feel at home? I mean, I'm sure Carnival could be one of those things to at least, have something to...
People have been calling me about Carnival, I tell you. I don't know where people have been calling me from. Even the convention center right here in New York, they call the Times, the Daily News, the Post.
They
all
called
the newspapers
you.
Call
Not
me.
Not necessarily. Well, okay.
Because they know that I'm public relations over all these years. I mean, a guy from the Daily, from the Post called me last year, about a few days before Labor Day. His name was Donald McDonald. He said, "Gene, where's the news release for this year?" I had forgotten because the Post was going through their reorganizing problems. And I didn't send him. He said, "You send it every year." And he is calling me, asking me where it's
supposed to be. You've got those regular
And
content.
The Post, you know, they are not known for community involvement. So, but I like doing it.
I can tell. And I wish you all the luck.
I wish I could do more.
Well, it sounds like you're doing quite a bit. Well, I think we'll wrap up this portion of the interview today, and hopefully someday after I get a chance to listen to everything, you'll be willing to let me talk to you again and ask more probing questions about a lot of things that you've talked about today. That's okay with you.
I hope you can understand half of what I said, because I know I speak fast.
Oh, pretty much. This is a good microphone. But this concludes the interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.